And when you get to my age, it's a privilege to be anywhere. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to New Testament. I'm grateful for the testimony of the ministry and the McLeans and the Trickies. I'm just thankful that you've reached out and put your arms around our family, and you've been a blessing and an encouragement to us. And I'm going to talk this evening about what God is doing in the Sioux. It's a very exciting time for us. We are watching God grow a ministry from nothing. People have told me it couldn't be done, and they were right. I couldn't do it, but our God could do anything. Amen. And we watched him build, you know, from just a Bible study to an evening service, and then from an evening service, we watched him give us a building. It was like the old congregation got raptured, and that doesn't sound good, but it's like they got raptured, and we everything was left. We didn't even have to buy garbage bags, you know. Everything was there. They just gave it to us and said, "Here," you know. And so it's been a blessing. And I want to show you some things tonight about my philosophy of ministry. And we left Berean, incredible ministry, love the people, good church. We left Berean. We did not go for support. We just simply retired and then retired and put some new rubber on the wheels. And we just went to work. And God just, it's amazing what God does. And so I want us to see today from James chapter 1 and James chapter 2 something that I believe we are going to need greatly in the days ahead. If I were to ask you this morning, are you saved? You probably, most of you would say amen. If I said to you, are you sure? It might get a little more quiet, but it would still probably be very, very strong. Then my third question would be, are you showing it? Are you showing it? And that might be even a little quieter still. And I want us to see today not even a subject. It's just a passion God's put on my heart. And when Pastor Trickey asked me to come, or Brother McLean asked me to come, I just started praying, and this is where God took me, all right? And so we're just going to trust him, and we're just going to give you what God gave to us, and we're going to ask him to bless it, all right? So James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then I'm going to go to chapter 2 and read verses 14 down through verse 26. I don't know what your practice is as far as standing for reading the Word of God. I'm going to let you stay seated. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect, notice the next word, work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now let's go to chapter 2 and start in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he have faith and have not worked, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needed to the body, even what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devil has also believed and trembled. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he is called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and has sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. How many of you have brothers? Can I see how many of you have brothers? Now, if I were to ask you this question, do you know your brothers well? Do you know them well? You might say, yes, I know them well. Do you know that Jesus had half-brothers? And they didn't know him as well as they thought they did. They thought they knew him well. But when he started preaching and people started calling him the Savior of the world and the Messiah, not our brother. I mean, no, not our brother. And the Bible tells us in the book of John that they did not believe in him. But then something happened. Calvary occurred. Jesus died. They put him in a tomb for 3 days, and he rose. And you know, one of the people that he went to see purposely was his brother James. It says so in 1 Corinthians 15. And James becomes an active participator in the cause of Christ. So did his other brother Jude. Half-brothers, of course. But Jude became active too. It was Jude that said, contend for the faith. I want us to see today how important it is for us to live out what God has done within us. This is vital, folks. We're living in a day and age where people need to see the power of God, not hear about it. We're past the days of talking. We're in the days of walking. And if it's going to get done the way God wants it done, we have to show our faith. Let's pray and ask God to guide us today. Father, would you please help me? These dear people have come to be fed with the Word of God. They've come because they're faithful. But the faithful need to be fed. And I'm going to ask you to do what I cannot do. I'm going to ask you to meet the needs of the heart. And we're going to trust you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible, in this Bible text that we've read, talks about faith, biblical faith. There is a need today for biblical faith. If you're watching the world, and I'm not getting political, but if you're watching the world, and you see how the world is moving very quickly to difficult times, you know how important it's going to be able to live according to your faith. And so the Bible talks about faith. James challenges us on the subject, not to undermine it, but to undergird it. And he says that real faith works. It works. You don't work for faith, but you do work if you have faith. Your works should go as far as your faith goes. Let me say that again. Your works should go as far as your faith goes. If you're not doing anything for God, it's because you don't believe. You don't have faith. We have such a need for faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, and I know you know this, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice the two words, substance. Substance. Your faith needs to have substance. And not only does it need to have substance, but the Bible says that there's an evidence that comes out of this. An evidence. It is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is not make-believe. Evidence is not trumped up. Evidence is not something that might be. Evidence is never future. It's always present. It's always present. If it hasn't occurred, there can't be evidence. And so we build our lives on the Word of God, but our walk with God is shown through our works. And so faith from the Word of God is a tangible belief. It's a tangible action. It's a tangible behavior. It's something that is very, very real. Let me just pop this in here for a moment. It's not in the notes, but let me give it to you. When we went to Sault Ste. Marie, God began to open doors for us to meet people through other things that we were doing. Pat went to work in a Christian school, and of course that opened up the door for us to meet a family. And she went to work at Kumon, and you know, that opened up some more. And as I was counseling people, it was opening up more doors. And as we were opening up more doors, I kept hearing the same statement. We're looking for a church that cares. We're looking for someone that wants to get involved in our lives. We want to see something that is real. We're sick and tired of seeing the political aspect of Christianity. And I made a promise, if we would walk with God, then we would see God's advantage on our lives. And we've seen God's advantage. We've seen it. I want to ask you, do you have God's advantage? We'll talk about that tonight. So the Bible talks about this faith. And if you notice with me in verse 14, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, we know that we are saved by grace through faith. We know that. And so works don't save us as far as a spiritual reality. All the work that was done for salvation was done through Jesus. We accept what he has done. And accepting it is not work, but it is faith. And so when we accept that, then he saves us. But you know, the Bible not only speaks of saving faith, it also speaks of sanctifying faith. It does so in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. I'm not going to get you to turn there. Just write it down and read it. But it talks about the Lord working in us. Paul was talking about the Lord's response to him when he got saved. And as Jesus was talking to him, one of the things that Jesus told Paul that he was going to do was he was going to preach the gospel so that it would break people free from Satan and allow them to see the sanctifying work of God in their lives. In other words, there would be a change in people. A change. I don't know if you sing it here, but we used to sing the song, there's a great, great change since I've been born. There's been a great, great change since I've been born. I'm doing you a great favor. I'm giving you the lyrics, but I'm not singing it for you. All right? Consider yourselves blessed. But there's been a great, great change. That's the works. That's faith working in our lives. And then the Bible also talks about a standing faith. A standing faith. It talks about that over in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. And again, we're not going to go there because that's not what I want us to see today. But There's a standing faith where we can come into God's presence and we can talk to him. How many of you like to be embarrassed? Can I see? Just hold up your hand. Nobody? Oh, wow. How many of you prayed this morning before you came to church and said, Heavenly Father, would you please speak to my heart? Would you open my heart? Would you talk to me? You see, we have that standing presence with God where we can come into his presence and we can ask him for things. I give you a little bit of a, and please, this is not boasting. If there's anybody in this room that's amazed at what God has done, you're looking at him. But you know, when God gave us our building for the evening service, I walked down the hall in the auditorium and I had a Bapticostal fit. How many of you know what a Bapticostal fit is? Bapticostal fit is where you're waving your hands and you're praising God and you're just hoping nobody else is around, but you are just really excited because God is doing wonderful things. And I'm thanking him as I'm walking down the aisle, and as God is my witness, I heard him say, "You haven't seen anything yet." And I got in the pulpit and I was telling our folks about that, and they looked at me like I had three heads. And people, within a year, God gave us the entire facility. Not just an hour or two during the week, but God gave us the entire facility. And I went back to having a Bapticostal fit. I figured if it worked the first time, it's going to work the second time. And I was just excited about what God was doing. We have the privilege of standing in his presence and talking to him and watching the interaction that comes. That's what people need today. They need to know that God reacts and acts and interacts. People say God doesn't react, he knows all things. Well, God does respond to my prayer like he responds to your prayer. And to me, that's a reaction. I'm grateful. And so all of these concepts of faith are there, but then there's a serving faith. And in verse 18, it says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my work." Can I tell you why churches are dying? Let me tell you why churches are dying, and they are dying. Churches are dying on a regular basis, and they're dying because people are saying, "I have works, I have faith, but there is no works that show that that faith is real or that it works." It's just a belief system. We need to have something a whole lot deeper than a belief system. We need to have something that grabs a hold of our hearts and grabs a hold of our lives and grabs a hold of our daily patterns and makes a difference. Listen to what it says in this text. "What doth it profit, my brethren?" What doth it profit? Our faith should profit. It should profit. Do you know that the Bible recognizes some false faith? Now, if this makes you mad, I'm glad, because it will get you to going in the right direction. I'm not saying that to make you mad intentionally, but there's a false faith. And there are some things in this Bible text that show us a false faith. We didn't read it, but let's go back to verse 13. "For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against the judgment." So now the Bible is talking, in this context, it's talking about works. It's talking about faith that works. And here we have a people that are judging without mercy. Do you know that a false faith, seeks to destroy rather than to deliver people? It seeks to destroy. We get our little self-righteousness going, you know, we get our collars up and we get this holy, holy attitude, and we're looking down on other people that that have fallen, or something's gone wrong in their life, or they're struggling in something, or maybe they've given over to a habit, and then instead of coming alongside and saying, come on, grace still works, God forgives sin, let me get beside you and lift you up, help me, or let me help you and let me walk with you, a false faith says, you're not as good as I am. And pushes down. Do you know that Christianity is the only army in the world that shoots its own wounded? We shoot our own wounded. Why do we do that? Because we have a false faith. We have a false faith. A false faith not only invokes judgment without mercy, but a false faith ignores the things that are truly needful. Look with me at verse 16. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needed to the body, what doth it profit? Again, let me just give this to you. As I reach out to families, as we work with families, as our families in Harbor Light bring families, we're hearing this one consistent thing. Everywhere we've gone, they're concerned about us being there for Sunday, but they don't care what happens to us the rest of the week. What's wrong? A false faith doesn't deal with the real issues of life. It's just interested in bringing a crowd together and then dispersing the crowd without ever getting involved in their struggles or their burdens or their needs. Let me just ask, how many of you today, I'm not going to ask you what it is, but how many of you today right now are carrying a burden and that burden is heavy? Can I just see, just hold up your hand. Nobody? Everybody in this church is good to go? All right, we carry burdens. If we are saved and carry the burdens, imagine what those people out there are carrying. Where are they going to find the help? Not from the government. Not from social services. You're going to find it from the people of God. And if they're going to find it from the people of God, the people of God have got to go and show what God is capable of. Do you know that the Macedonian call is come and help us? It's come and help us. It's not come and show us. It's not come and teach us. It's not come and reach us. It's come and help us. Have you ever read the Gospels and noticed how many times Jesus gets involved in people's lives to lead them to himself? I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. I'm talking about real life evangelism, where you really get involved in people's lives. I had a lady preach the message, and this lady comes to the front, and she says, I want to talk to you about what you just preached on. And I said, all right, let's just sit down here in the front. And so she sat down in the front, and she began to fire questions at me. And they were a little bit hostile. They were, she didn't pull out an AK-47 or anything, but they were a little hostile. And so I began to talk to her. And that lady got saved. Amen. And then here's what she said to me. How did you do that? I said, how to do what? She said, I came up to the front with the intention of ripping you to pieces. And she said, you just calmly started talking to me. And she said, I knew you were telling me the truth. And she said, I'm saved. Hey, listen, I didn't say pray after me a prayer. She prayed. And when she was done, she walked out the back door, and there was a crowd of people outside, and she said, I just got saved. But it took somebody to get involved in her life, because one of our other families brought her to church because they knew that she was struggling. Faith works. A false faith insists on understanding all that is involved before making a commitment. Look with me in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Can you imagine this? Just imagine this in your mind. Abraham is serving God. And God says to him one night, he says, Abraham, I want you to go to a mountain that I'm going to show you, and I want you to sacrifice your son. Can you imagine? Lord, I must have got this message wrong. Would you text that to me again? I think there was some autocorrect going on here, and this doesn't look right to me. And he goes, oh, no, you heard me right the first time. But God wouldn't ask that kind of stuff of us. I'm grateful that he doesn't ask that kind of stuff of us today, but I'll tell you what, a false faith will never pay a price for serving God. A false faith will never pay a price for serving God. What kind of a price have you paid for serving God? Well, I asked him for a new house, and he gave me an old house. I asked him for a new car, and he gave me an old car. I asked him for a pretty wife, and he gave me, we'll just keep going. And but we have this concept where, you know, where God should be always blessing us. And I'm grateful that he does. By the way, I have a new house, and I have a new car, and I have a beautiful wife. So we know who has the advantage, amen? But here's the concept. When we have a false faith, we have all of these concepts developing in our minds, and because that's not what real faith is, we become discouraged. We pray for God to protect us. But you know that a real faith sometimes walks into danger. You had Brother Mawele up here this morning, and he was one of our first missionaries. We've already set up our mission budget, and we have missionaries on support. The other one is Brother Mark Logan. Brother Mark, how many of you know Mark Logan? You know Mark Logan? Brother Logan's an incredible missionary. He goes into third world countries. He goes in Africa, Asia. He's over in Saudi Arabia. And he goes in, and they teach Bible lessons, sometimes sitting on the roofs of buildings with flashlights. That man is going to become a Paul. What I mean by that is he's probably going to be martyred somewhere. But he's just got a desire to serve God, and his faith is real. His faith is so real, and he's not afraid of the danger. But the Bible does recognize these false faiths. And so when you have a false faith, here's your question. What doth it profit? What doth it profit? Tell me, what am I going to get out of this? But the Bible shows us a faith that is to be displayed. Look with me at verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee thy faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Do you understand what God just said? He said, if you say you have faith, but that faith is not working, you're vain. You're vain. What is vanity? Again, I'm not attacking anything. I'm making a statement. But a lot of times, preachers will go over to the Philippines. And they will preach in the Philippines. And they will give an invitation for the gospel. And thousands of people will come forward. And then, of course, they broadcast that they preached this message and thousands of people have got saved. But change the message. Change the message and preach it this way. You deny all other gods. You turn your back on all other faiths. And you trust Jesus only. He is your Savior, nothing else. And watch the change. A Filipino pastor told me that. The Bible tells us that there is a faith that can be shown through our works. So ask yourself this question. And I'm not gonna ask you to stand up and give a testimony, but ask yourself this question. Is my faith working? Is my faith working? You know what your neighbors need to see? They need to see your faith working. They need to see it working. Your kids need to see your faith working. Your wife needs to see your faith working. Your church needs to see your faith working. Because if it's not working, it's not faith. It's foolishness. It's just foolishness. A faith can be shown through our works. Let me use another illustration. God gave us a beautiful home in Sault Ste. Marie. I walked into my backyard one day and this fella kitty corner waved, and so I waved and he came to the lot line and I walked back and I said to him, "Hi, my name is Bob." And he said, "My name's Wayne." And I said, "Wayne, it's good to meet you." He said to me, "You're new here." And I said, "I am." And he said, "What are you doing here?" And I wanted to say, "I'm living here." But I said to him, "We've come into the Sioux to plant an independent Baptist church." He said to me, "That's interesting." I said to him, "Are you a born-again Christian?" He said, "No, I'm not, but my wife is." I said to him, "Wayne, why are you not a born-again Christian?" Here's his words. "Bob, I've been to the churches in the Sioux, and I don't see any difference. Everything they profess to have, I have." He said, I'm as good as they are. And you know, when you're up against something like that, what you want to do is just turn around and walk away, amen? Because you know you're gonna get into this, but God wouldn't let me go. And so I said to Wayne, "What you're dealing with is religion. I want to talk to you about a relationship. A relationship between you and Christ." And so I began to talk to him. We talked for about half an hour and he left and he went back in the house, and a week or so later he's back up, "Bob." So we talked again. And I said to him, "You know, all you have to do is bow your head, acknowledge you're a sinner." I said, "You know you're a sinner." And he said, "Everybody's a sinner, obviously." And so he knew the gospel. I gave him the gospel. Long story short, I'm out in the backyard. Their swimming pool is pulled down. Nancy's standing on the back steps. And I said to her, "What, are you getting tired of swimming?" And she said, "No, with Wayne gone." I said to her, "What do you mean Wayne's gone?" She said, "He died. 50-something years old. Massive heart attack, gone." And I said, "Nancy, I'm so sorry." And so she came down off the steps and she came to the back of her yard, and I went to the back of our yard. And she said to me, "Bob," she said, "I just don't know." And I said, "Well, Nancy, let me tell you what I did." And so I went through it all. And she said to me, "Wayne used to talk about your conversations." And she said, "You know," she said, "he did change. He did change." And I said to her, "You know, he knew how to get saved. You're saved. let's pray and hope that there was a time when he got saved. At least he knew how to get saved. She said, Mom, I believe Wayne got saved. I believe it because she said, I watched him change. Now, here's my point. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Real faith works. When you're truly saved and the Spirit of God is truly working in your heart, God uses you as a bridge to reach out to others, not just in door to door, but in day by day living. We've got so used to defining our faith and defending our faith. And by the way, you can't defend what you can't define. You need to know what you believe. But we've got so used to defining our faith and defending our faith and disputing our faith. But I want to take it one step farther. Are you displaying your faith? Are you displaying your faith? When people look at you, do they see the difference? Do they see the difference? In your business dealings, is there a difference? I've watched my wife go back into Walmart because they've given her too much change. That's Tim Hortons. No, it's not mine. And I've watched her take it back. That's displaying your faith. Faith works. Paying your bills on time. Faith works. Getting along with your neighbors, if it's possible, as much as is possible, live peaceably with all men. Faith works. Talking to those in the office or where you're working because you notice that their heart is heavy and there's something not right in their family, and you come alongside and you say, hey, are you okay? Don't leave. Listen. And use your faith to show them that God really cares. You know that God cares? It's not that God doesn't care. It's people don't care. People don't care. I got a call to go into the hospital and visit with a young man, and I did that. And I got to tell you, people, I'm an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. My wife will tell you, my kids will tell you, I really don't like people. I don't. Not in the flesh, all right? Not in the flesh. If there's a person coming down the street and there's two sidewalks, you know what sidewalk I'm going to be on in the flesh, all right? I have a hard time with people. But when God saved me and called me, and as I began to study the Word of God, I began to realize something. I was making a mistake. Now, don't throw me out, all right? But I had spent years trying to build ministries. And God said to me, why don't you start building people? And let me build a ministry. And I got in my heart this desire to really get involved with people's lives. And I watched God take Harbor Light Baptist Church and move it from a couple of people till our living room was full. Our basement got full. Not at the same time as our living room got full, all right? That would sound good, but that would be a lie. So we moved downstairs at our basement, and then we moved to the building, and our building started to fill. And we haven't handed out one flyer. We haven't handed out anything to promote Harbor Light Baptist Church. We've been building people, and our people are building people. And you know that we've even got students from Algoma University that come on Thursday nights for Bible study? because we've got some young people that care. Show me your faith without your works. Oh, no. You show your faith through your works. Does that make sense? If that makes sense, say amen. You don't say amen, I'm going to preach it all over again. All right. I have to do that at Harbor Light too, because they just... No. Let me close with this. James was the Lord's half-brother. And after he saw his half-brother, our Savior, resurrected, he began to talk about the impact that that had, and he called it works. The other half-brother, Jude, I don't know what happened to Joseph, but the other half-brother, Jude, he wrote a book, and he said, we need to contend for the faith. We need to contend for the faith, not in the faith. See, that's where we're wrong. We contend in the faith. No, contend for the faith. We've got to show that this is real. And it is real. If you love the Lord, it's real. When you talk to him, he responds. When you pray, he answers. If he's not answering, then find out why. Don't go on pretending. Don't pretend that it's right when it's all wrong. Don't stand and say amen with the rest of the saved when you're not sure. Don't hide because you're an introvert and call everybody an extrovert. If you're saved, your faith will work. It will work. And when you talk to God, he will respond. And he will answer. And he will show you how great he really is. Stop defending God. Stop defending him. He doesn't need our defense. What he needs is our desire to let him work. Let the world see that he really does make a difference. What does it profit, my brethren? Oh, listen. When you serve a living Savior and you watch him work through your life, the stories could just go on and on and on and on about what he has done. If you don't have a story like that, there's something wrong with your faith. There's something very wrong with your faith, because we serve an awesome God. Let's bow forward to prayer. Our Father, as we bow before you, I'm thankful for the great privilege of being here. I'm thankful for this ministry. What an incredible ministry. Watching God do the things that God has done here. These people know what I'm talking about. But Father, it might be today, it just might be, that there are some people who want, who have an appetite, just have a desire. Oh God, please, work through me. Work through my life. Use everything that I've come through, everything that's happened to me. Use it, dear God, please, so that I may show who you are. Help me not to just defend the faith, not just to define the faith, not to just dispute the faith, but, dear God, help me to display the faith. May people see this. How great you truly are. Father, would you work in this group this morning? We have such an opportunity in this city. This church has already done so much. but it has not yet tapped. Because none of us have ever done that. We've not yet tapped the possibilities that are in God. We need a faith that works. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and no one looking around, I just want to ask you this question, then I can turn it over to Pastor Tricky. But I wonder right now, how many would say, "Preacher, I'm satisfied. I'm really satisfied with the way that my faith works and the impact that I'm seeing through my life. I'm really satisfied with that." Could I see your hand? Would you just slip it up and put it down? All right. Okay. Now, how many of us would say, "Preacher, I'm listening, and I really want God to work through me. I want to see that. I want to see what you're talking about. I want to display the reality of God in my day-by-day living. I want others to be impacted by what it is that you've done for me." Could I see your hand? Would you just slip it up? Just slip it up, put it back down. Amen. All over the auditorium. Pastor Tricky, would you come?